Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Kate Thornton, and welcome to Up Close and Socially Distant. On this week's episode, I'll be talking to broadcaster and presenter Vic Hope about her involvement in charitable initiatives helping refugees, to Oasis Hub Food Bank and Debt Advice Centre manager Rebecca Gibson, and to Radio 1's DJ Ariel Free, who's staging kitchen raves for families up and down the country, keeping them dancing and sane in lockdown. Ariel Free has been bringing people together all over the country every Friday through to Sunday with euphoric dance anthems on BBC Radio 1. She's also been helping families shake off the stresses and strains of lockdown and homeschooling by hosting kids' kitchen raves on her social media channels. And she's joining me now to tell me more about it. Thank you so much for dialing in. I mean, you've certainly been bringing a real energy boost with your radio show. So every Friday and Saturday, you're on from 4 till 6, and then 5 till 7 on Sundays. Yeah. How has it been trying to continue to broadcast and keep people's spirits up in lockdown?
It's really bizarre because at that time in the morning, the kind of audience is always split into two. You either have those who've been working through night, a lot of people who are doing night shifts, people who are on the end of a night shift, so that I'm like the last few hours of that like kind of work shift that they've got, or they're up super early. And it used to be people going to the airport, like airport runs, or people getting to the gym really quickly, or people who'd been at raving and still wanting the last few hours of the soundtrack. And what I found is that actually, obviously, we don't have the straight through crew anymore, and we don't have the airport runs, but those people who have been working through the night, it's like tripled. We have our delivery people, or those who are trying to get like essentials to the supermarkets, and a lot of hospitals and wards as well have had us on. So it's been there's been a shift in terms of like the early morning crew, but it almost feels, I'm really feel quite honored to actually be able to like broadcast at that time, because it definitely feels that people need that point of conversation and need that company at that time in the morning. And also weirdly, yeah, the big house music is what goes down really well at that time in the morning, because everyone's, if they are in the last like kind of few hours of the night shift, they're always just like requesting like old school bangers like Darude, Sandstorm and things like that. They're like, this is gonna help me go, like get me Faithless Insomnia on now. So it's actually been amazing. It's been busier than ever and like on more interactive than ever.
So actually you're really helping to assist in keeping the nation going.
It's funny as well, because they all kind of help each other as well. So like we had a lady who liked to call in. She was doing a really long journey, having to deliver like some essential medication. And she said, oh, I need to stop. I'm on like the M6. I need to stop and have a coffee. I'm feeling really tired, but this song's really helped me. And then someone, like another like guy texted, and he's just like, Jenny, I'm in this service station, there's a coffee waiting for you. He's just and it's been really lovely to see. Like, and actually we've had like hospitals like call each other out. So there was girls in like a ward in the Kilmarnock Hospital, and we're like, oh, we want to shout out our like fellow nurses over in the ICU. Like, and it was just, it's been really quite heartwarming.
Outside of your work at Radio One, you've also been hosting, and I thank you for this as a mother who's homeschooling and trying to contain a child in lockdown. You've been hosting kids' kitchen raves, basically.
Yeah.
What does a kitchen rave consist of, and what are the kids getting from it?
Well, it's really funny. Like, it was basically the first week of full lockdown. I was like, I have so many friends who have young kids that were like, I don't know how I'm going to do this homeschooling and like get through it. And I know that Joe Wicks has been doing his like exercises in the morning. And I was like, do you know what? My favorite thing that my friends' kids love doing is just like we put on like big like dance numbers and like really fast speeds and then just like let them like have a shimmy. And I thought, right, I'm going to go live in the mix for an hour and I'm not just going to play dance songs. I'm going to like try and get in some family faves there. So I managed to find like an EDM version of Billie Eilish's Bad Guy, like a Tiesto remix, which has gone down a storm. I found like this amazing remix of Baby Shark, which is like my number one requested tune. So the first thing I did it, like thousands of people watched it across like Instagram and Facebook. And they're like, right, when's the next one? And I was like, well, should we do it Wednesday? And so it's kind of, I've kind of taken on this like role of being like the slightly disheveled, more erratic Joe Wicks. You never know, I might drop the Baby Shark remix at the next festival I get to DJ. I think it might go down well.
Have you had any feedback from parents in terms of like A, gratitude, and B, like telling you what the kids are getting from this?
People have really gone for it. There was one dad who like recreated Ocean Beach Club in his front room. So he set up a fake tiki bar and he had like a little paddling pool that he filled with balls, like a ball pit, and like the kids are jumping in and out of the ball pit. And like, I've had other like parents who like set up like their bike lights, like to make it like a rave, like flashing lights, and sent me, and it's been amazing. So yeah, and you're right, it's that thing of like shaking off. And I think the reason why it works is because with like the kind of exercise classes, they're having to do certain moves and be quite regimented and disciplined, which is obviously amazing for their exercise. But the fact that they can just like shake things off, they can just be completely inhibited in terms of like their dances and what they want to do. Because we've all seen kids at a party, like they love going wild, don't they? Like, and they love just like shaking off that energy and just being a bit silly for an hour.
I think they need it, and now more than ever. You're also helping children everywhere who are feeling down about missing their friends and unable to celebrate those big benchmark moments like their proms.
Yeah, so I recently did a thing with Newsbeat about how to throw your own virtual prom. And I know like my niece, she's missed her year seven leavers. So she's like finished primary school. She didn't get like the leavers. She's going to go start high school without seeing her friends for months on end. And so it's like something that I was quite aware of. And a few schools got in touch and said, look, would you be up for like just doing a live DJ set? So I'm going to do a set, on Friday the 5th of June, which is when a lot of proms were meant to be happening. And just do a big like an hour's like DJ set, and then hopefully they can continue the party in their front rooms, their kitchens, wherever the dance floor is, whilst they're self-isolating. And the best thing is you can now add audio through Zoom, so people are using Zoom, they can all connect on that, or they can put like Instagram Live up on their TVs or YouTube and whatnot. So hopefully I'll be able to stream it in a number of places that people can actually put it loud on the speakers as well. And I mean, I never got to go to my own prom, so I'm gonna get a prom dress on whilst I DJ and like basically get that moment that I never got to have when I was younger. So there's kind of like a bit of a self-satisfaction to getting involved in those proms as well.
You've got your own agenda working.
Yeah, exactly.
That's brilliant. This week it's Mental Health Week, and keeping an eye on our mental health, especially in lockdown, is so important right now. And the theme of this year's Mental Health Week is kindness. And you've already spoken about how you've started to see, you know, sense and feel that with your listeners on Radio One. How do you think we as communities and families can be kinder to each other, not just now, but way beyond lockdown?
I think it's that thing of having a moment to pause and understand why someone might be unkind. So I always think of it in terms of like social media. You know, there are people who will go on to social media and be unkind. They might be trolls. They might lash out at people. And I always think, rather than lashing back at them or being unkind to them, sometimes maybe it's just about taking a moment and being like, okay, well, maybe they've got stuff that they're going through in their life. There's probably a reason behind it. And maybe sometimes helping that is just being kind back. Like, there's that saying, isn't it, kill them with kindness?
Absolutely.
Especially when we get out of lockdown, a lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people are going to be hit quite hard financially. And I think now more than ever, we've just got to be a bit aware that people might just be, and we don't necessarily read, like, you know, put it all over our faces, do we? A lot of us hide what we're going through. So I think it is just that thing of being like, if someone lashes out at you or is a bit nasty to you, maybe being like, okay, maybe they're having a bit of a rubbish day. And I know that's not always necessarily going to ring true for a lot of situations, but that's the kind of way I see it.
I think it's a good way to play it. You know what? If someone goes low, you go high.
Definitely. And I couldn't agree more, especially when, you know, things can be faceless, like on social media and whatnot.
But listen, you keep raving as long as we're kept indoors, please, because our kids need to dance and feel music again and feel carefree, even if it's just for an hour in their kitchen. So thank you. Enjoy your prom.
See you soon. Bye.
Rebecca Gibson is the Centre Manager for the Food Bank and Debt Advice Centre at the Oasis Hub in Waterloo in London, providing food parcels and debt advice to those in need in her local area. Food banks have, quite frankly, never been more in demand as the UK crashes into a recession, leaving so many people vulnerable, unable to meet their debts and to feed themselves. So Rebecca, thank you for joining me. Tell us first and foremost about the service you're providing at Oasis and what it's offering to the people that need it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Oasis works in what we call community hubs around the country and actually around the world. So locally in Waterloo, we basically run holistic community services, which are about helping and enabling people to thrive in their local communities. So for us, that looks like loads of really positive work, including a small city farm, work in our local Oasis schools, youth work, children's work, partnerships with our local hospital. And then the services that I run, which include our food bank and debt advice provision. So locally, I'm kind of supporting people who unfortunately are finding themselves in situations of crisis where they can't afford to provide food for themselves or their families, or they're struggling with unmanageable debt.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a harsh reality for so many people, people that would never have considered having to use a food bank before. Are you seeing a huge increase in demand?
Yeah, so in the food bank, we've seen referrals go up hugely in the last few weeks since this crisis has been unfolding. So we're working with a couple of other food banks locally at the moment. And before this crisis, we would have been feeding an average of 180 people a week, which is still a huge number. But since the crisis started, we're now feeding on average 700 people every week. So it's been the kind of really sad reality that we've just seen the need for our service grow and grow, and people in more and more desperate situations when they turn to help from us, really.
The people that you're helping, talk to me about the problems that they're facing and the impact that lockdown's having on them.
The kind of short-term impact of things not being on the supermarket shelves had a real big impact. People were coming to us saying there's only the most expensive brands left on the shelves and we can't afford to buy those. And equally, there are people who have been laid off work, not been able to access the furlough scheme, have been waiting for benefit payments to kick in, often left for many weeks with absolutely no income and no savings to fall back on. So people who would have been getting by on their wages previously then absolutely just plunged into crisis.
Emotionally, how are they coping? Because there's a huge amount of mental health issues that come with struggling and the crisis of a time like this.
The impact certainly being felt very harshly, and we're having lots of difficult conversations with people just in absolutely heartbreaking situations where they have no certainty about where their next meal is going to come from, where their next amount of money is going to come from, how they're going to pay their rent and bills, worrying about amounting levels of debt, and just really struggling in the face of all the uncertainty that's going on at the moment. I think people are really going to continue to struggle for some time.
You talked briefly about the fact that people find themselves in this horrible limbo where they're waiting for benefits to kick in. Can you tell us about the process of applying for universal credit and how that's making people reliant on you and the services you provide in the short term?
Yeah, so people, when they first apply for Universal Credit, have to wait 5 weeks from date of application till their first payment as a minimum. And that is something that is built into the structure of the system, as it were. So if you've been working a job where you get paid weekly, for example, you could have had your last wage payment many, many weeks ago and be surviving on no income. And your choice is either to take out an advance, which you then have to pay back over quite a short period of time and may leave you short for several months while you pay that back, or to be left with no income at all. And that's when we see many people arrive at the door of our food bank while they're in that crucial time where they have absolutely no income and nowhere else to turn to. We've also seen over the last few months, particularly, a huge increase in children coming to our food bank. Some people really struggling to access those vouchers which have been put in place of free school meals. But prior to that, over the last few years, we've seen a steady increase in the number of people who are struggling through the school holidays as school meals are removed, which is a vital service that parents just then struggle to afford to replace those meals.
You're also supporting people during this really challenging times when it comes to the economic unknown, people that are facing mounting debts that they just can't see a way through with. So how does the debt advice work?
So we have a team of trained debt advice caseworkers. They're volunteers. They very kindly give up their time, and they provide support to people negotiating on their behalf with creditors and helping them see a way through and create a path out of debt for them. And we, at the moment, actually, we're helping a large number of people. We're managing just over £500,000 worth of personal debt in Waterloo. But we have actually seen a bit of a pause in uptake of referrals because lots of people, evictions are on hold, local council debts are on hold for recovery of those for many people as well. But what we're expecting is a huge influx, a huge wave of referrals to hit as soon as some of those measures are removed and people suddenly have built up huge amounts of debt over this time and are suddenly being asked to pay it all back. So we're really concerned that we're going to see a huge increase in need in the coming months.
That's the kind of stress and anxiety that doesn't allow somebody to sleep at night if they're worried about losing their home, not being able to feed their families. And this is becoming a reality for hundreds of thousands of families under lockdown, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. As part of my job with the debt advice, I see people through all sorts of circumstances, and I've sat in court with a single mum with three children about to lose her home and the roof over her head and all that's keeping her and her children safe. And so to be able to advocate for someone and to fight in their corner is a real privilege. But the fact that people are in these positions in the first place is often as a result of huge injustice and people not being properly cared for.
A lot of these problems existed before lockdown. What do you think needs to change structurally in this country so that we can tackle poverty long term?
Yeah, so I think in order to tackle poverty long term, we really need to see some key policy changes. Lots of those are around support for the most vulnerable, so people who do need to access the benefits system, making that a process where they don't have to wait 5 weeks for a first payment, where the payments they do receive are enough that they can afford the essentials. Particularly at a time like that, it's become very apparent that people can't access very easily always the support that they need, so that's a key thing. As well as we see huge issues around lack of affordable housing, particularly we see that a lot in our area, and people in poorly paid work on kind of 0-hour contracts that are not paying them a proper living wage. So those are just a few things that I think we need to work really hard on to make sure that people can have a roof over their heads, a decent wage and a benefits system that will support them if they find themselves in a time of difficulty.
Rebecca, there is so much stigma around asking for help, falling back on a charity. And yet really there doesn't need to be, because I think we are all trying to find our way through this pandemic and people are falling through all kinds of cracks. So anybody watching this that is worried about where the next meal's going to come from, next week's food's going to come from, how they're going to keep on top of their rent, their debts, their mortgage, whatever it is, what would you say to them?
We often find that people, before they come to a food bank, wait till a point where they're really struggling and really desperate. We supported somebody a couple of weeks ago who had gone without any food for nearly 2 weeks because he was too afraid and too embarrassed to ask for help, and he didn't know where to turn. So he was at a point of absolute desperate need. So I would really say we don't want anyone to be in a situation where that is what is happening to you. And we would say, if you need help, please do reach out to your local food bank, to your local advice services, and ask for help. It's certainly not an individual failure. There is nothing wrong with needing to ask for help. There's debt advice provision around the country, and most of those services have adapted to provide online and remote advice. So the help is very much still out there and available for people who are struggling. And equally, if you're in a position where you are able to help, please do also get in touch with your local food bank and find out how you can best support them in your area.
The work you do is incredible, and thank goodness that there are organisations like you out there.
Thank you, Kate.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Maybach, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Presenter and journalist Vic Hope has been throwing her support behind charitable initiatives helping refugees in a local area, nationwide and overseas. And she's joining us today to tell us more about her work and what we can do to help some of our society's most vulnerable people through lockdown. So Vic, first and foremost, how are you in lockdown?
I'm okay, you know. It's a strange time for everyone, and I think it's bringing out the best in so many people. I love the way that communities are coming together. People are trying to help one another, and it's putting a lot of things in perspective.
Absolutely. And you have been incredibly busy helping many charities, actually, during lockdown. Firstly, tell me about the Akwaba charity and how you've been volunteering with them to help the people in your area.
Oh, well, Akwaba is a charity that supports refugees, asylum seekers, migrants at every stage of the process. I've been working with them for a good about 4 years now. But usually I work with the children's group. So we do workshops, I do a dancing workshop, storytelling workshops. We have lots of sports, help with homework, English classes, that kind of thing. So lots of ways to make kids feel included from all over the world who've come here for a number of reasons. Obviously, since the lockdown, we've not been able to run our usual session, the social drop-in that we have for the families. So instead, we've tried to adapt the service that we provide to still support these families, because for a lot of them, their situation is difficult. A lot of them are destitute or near destitute. Some of them don't have their papers, so if they were to ask for support elsewhere, they might be deported or detained. A lot of them are living big families in one room in like high-rise blocks with so little, not being able to go out at all with tiny children. So what we've been doing is taking on a few families who we basically look out for, do their grocery shopping. We've raised enough money to be able to provide a hardship fund to be able to give them some money each week to go towards necessities. I've been taking around books and toys for the kids, little care packages for the mums and the dads, and I've been doing casework with these families. So a lot of them are stuck in the middle of a system that has been put on pause, but that's incredibly anxiety inducing. If you don't know whether you're going to be deported on the other side of this, or if you're going to still have a home, or you're going to be sent to another city by your council, because a lot of refugee families get passed council to council. I've been helping them with their paperwork. It's been a lot of work, and you're constantly on the phone. And again, even just being there as company, because a lot of people feel so alone at this time.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important, isn't it, at a time like this, to remember that lockdown isn't the same for everyone. I think, you know, the belief at the beginning of this pandemic was that we're all in it together, and its effect is a great leveler, and it's not.
Absolutely. And it's hard. Like, I just keep seeing the face of one of the little boys who I've known for years, because he's been one of the little boys I've looked after on Sundays at Aquaba. I was round at their house from a social distance, just delivering some groceries and their hardship grant the other day. And obviously we're not allowed to go too close, but we're so used to seeing each other, and his little face was through the letterbox, and he looked so sad and so confused. I saw to his mum, they haven't taken them out to the park because she just wasn't really sure. She didn't really have the information that she needed to know what she could do with her kids. And she's a single mum in basically a one bedroom flat in East London in Hackney with three tiny kids. One of them is under 2 months old. She had a cesarean section, so she's still recovering, essentially. She's finding it difficult to go out and get things that she needs, and because her back's hurting from, you know, surgery that she had not that long ago. And you just think that situation is so, so much more difficult than mine being asked to stay at home here in my flat in Hackney with a little balcony. And, you know, and it puts things in perspective. I think it's really important to remember that home is not necessarily a safe space for everyone. And I think if it is for you, then you have a responsibility to help if you can.
You're also, as well as your work with Aquaba, working with Amnesty UK International, and you've been helping with their campaign to change the domestic abuse bill in order to protect migrants from domestic violence. So tell us more about that bill and what changes you hope it will bring about.
From work that I've been doing recently with Refuge, we found that the number of domestic abuse murders since the beginning of lockdown has doubled, which is an insane figure. For those of us who have a safe space to call home, we can come home, we can lock down, and it's a bit annoying, but at least we can stay here. But imagine if you're going home to an abuser and you're putting yourself into a position where your life is even more in danger. What a frightening situation to be in. And Amnesty realised that even more frightening is that if you go to a shelter, if you seek refuge, there is a chance that if you don't have papers, you could then be from there detained or deported. So you're putting yourself in further danger just by looking for a safe space to go, when the only other option is to be in danger inside your own home, inside those four walls, which is horribly toxic and just so scary. So what we want to do is transform the domestic abuse bill to include migrants so that they don't put themselves in more danger by going to look for a safe space.
So that they share the same human rights.
Absolutely.
You've also joined in with a fitness campaign run by the charity Help Refugees. Tell us more about that campaign and what they're doing.
It's not really been reported recently because obviously the news has taken a completely different turn for quite a while. But people living in refugee camps currently do not have access to the healthcare that they need during a pandemic. Often washing your hands in clean water is not even an option. So self-isolation is nigh on impossible. So we're just trying to raise money to be able to support those people, to improve conditions and to help out where we can. And so Help Refugees, or Choose Love, is currently running around the world in 40 days, which is a bid from the 23rd of May, but you can sign up now. From the 23rd of May to get around the world together, working together, which is like 26,900 miles. So what you can do,
a marathon.
Not one person. I've pledged 100 miles. Yeah. So, but you can do it however. Well, it could. You can run it. You can walk it. You can roll it. You can cycle it. You could even. We're saying that 20 minutes of exercise in your own house. So dance it. That counts as a mile.
I think it's really inspiring to hear how actively involved you've been in helping those that really are society's most vulnerable, especially from the refugee or the migrant community. What advice would you give to people who are feeling a bit lost in lockdown, down? I mean, do you find that helping others has been a really good way for you to help yourself, for example?
I really do. And maybe that sometimes sounds a little bit selfish, that like you're doing it because it feels good, but it's better than doing nothing, and to help out where you can, because we are a community. And I feel like at this time we've realized more than ever that we need one another, we really do, and I hope we never go back from this. But I can understand that psychologically, mentally, it takes its toll on your soul, for everyone, the ups and downs of this. So my advice would be to reach out. It's nice to talk to one another. So look for ways that you can reach out. You can help with phone campaigns. Maybe you could help with a mutual aid. I know there's lots of COVID mutual aid groups for every different local community. And usually the signposts for them all over the streets. I don't know, it depends what you live in, but in my block of flats, there's a poster where you can literally get your phone out, scan the barcode, and it enters you into the WhatsApp group that will then put you on a list where anyone who needs an errand doing in your area can post it there, and you can sort of get assigned to it, and you say, I can do that. I'm going past Sainsbury's at that time. I'll get you shopping or whatever you need. There's so many ways that you can raise money as well. And also, if you need help, then reach out for it, because there will be someone else who then can talk to you too, because you never know when the tables will turn. So I think we should all just be kind to one another. And that's it. It's really as simple as that.
It really is. Oh, Vic, you're doing some really great work. And I think we could all take a leaf out of your book.
Thank you.
A huge thanks to all my guests for joining me this week. I'll be back next week with more video calls featuring those doing all they can to help us get through this pandemic. And if you think that you know of people out there that are doing brilliant work that we should be shining a light on, then please get in touch and let us know. You can reach us at Twitter at Yahoo UK using the hashtag UpClose and Socially Distant. I'll see you next time. Stay safe.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.